Congressman Mike Boss, getting ready for his fourth term. Morning, Mike. How are you, pal?
Good morning, Tom. We're good and busy. We're in D.C. We elected our Republican leaders yesterday. It's still the same slate. Kevin McCarthy is the leader. Steve Scalise is a whip. Liz Cheney is the conference chair. So rolling forward today, besides the work we're doing on the floor, which is, I mean, when I say we're doing work, that is, it's unanimous vote after unanimous vote, but things would have to be cleared up at the end of the year. I was hoping that we would start working on the fourth COVID bill. Politics is still raging back and forth. But besides doing that, then we also have to go in and also the Republican caucus has to create their new rules. We'll be doing that later today. We're actually, even though D.C. is shut down like what Illinois is proposing to do again, we actually had to get a special clearance because there was enough separation by going over on the other side by the Senate to the Hyatt in their major, major conference room. And then all the members of the Republicans are then 6 foot apart, sitting in a room where we can actually and staying with face coverings and everything like that. We can conduct the business that we have to conduct.
All right. So is that, when you said passing bill after bill after bill, I'm curious, are we talking about money? Are we talking about the government running out of money on December 11th? Is that what you're addressing?
We still have those bills to take care of. Yes, we have to do something. But remember, we've got another week before that date comes up to try to work on a budget that needs to be passed, that should have been passed several months ago, but instead what we did was pass what's known as a CR, or a continuing resolution, which basically funds the government at what the previous numbers were without any changes or modifications, just continues to operate at the previous budget. And that's where it is right now. We either have to come to an agreement on the budget, or we actually pass another CR on to and through past the 3rd of January. By that time, the new Congress will be sworn in, and then it will be left up to the new Congress.
All right, I want to talk politics with you, and there's a lot of elements here, a lot of moving parts. It's almost like a game of chess. I don't think this is out of the realm of that euphemism here. When you talk about Democrats, there was a push by other Democrats in the House saying, look, if you're a House member, don't take a job with the Biden administration. You're basically the thinnest margin in 20 years when it comes to who's in charge in the House. Well, one of those congressmen did do that yesterday. It was Cedric Richmond of Louisiana. I'm assuming they think they can keep that seat Democrat. But this is one of the things that you're looking at, because all the pollsters and all the people, there was a blue wave. No, there wasn't. And one of the reasons why is when you look at the makeup of the House now, and there's still some questions, but one of the bigger components that we're looking about, Republicans retaining, gaining ground, and doing that with a lot of female legislators, including Mary Miller.
Right. Well, let me tell you about how much of a dramatic change there is in the House membership. Mary Miller, that you're talking about, is one of 16 new women that have been elected to the Republican side of the aisle. We actually had a gal by the name of Michelle Fischbach, who defeated a longtime member, Colin Peterson, out of Minnesota. You've got 8 of those 10 seats that were flipped with the female candidates. It increases our minorities. I tell you what, you got young Kim and Michelle Steele, who are both from California, and both of them are Korean. We've got you got Stephanie Bice from Oklahoma. She's the first Iranian American ever to be elected. We've got Yvette Harrell from New Mexico. She is a Cherokee. So the diversity of our caucus, and what's really wild is, think about this, not only, and it does reflect America, but if you talk to Democrats, minorities, women, they all believe in the ideas of this socialism and the ideas of changing these radical changes that are being proposed by Nancy Pelosi and the Squad. Well, what we've done is we've elected members that are very, very diverse in their race, gender, showing truly America. But what do they believe in? They believe in the society, in this great experiment that was put together by our forefathers. They believe in the Constitution. They are they're pro-life. They are very, very, very. They come from all kinds of walks of life. If you know Mary Miller, you know she is a mother, a grandmother, a business person, a very much an activist in the pro-life community. So what we're doing is we're turning their cart upside down, and what we're doing is we're actually doing what the American people really needed to do, and really wanted us to do. But the problem is that we're still fighting this battle also on the president's race. Somebody out here said, well, have you admitted that Biden has won? No, I haven't. And that's not a bad thing. I want to make sure that every vote was counted, that from people who were truly able to vote. I don't want somebody's dog to vote. I don't want fraud to exist. I want the people, the American people, to realize whether they supported whoever's going to be president or not, that when it's done, that, okay, this was a legit election. Right. And Tom, let me tell you this. I was in the grocery store the other day where I met up with a very, very longtime friend. If I mention him, you and I both know him very well. He's about 80 years old. Oh, he is 80. I've known him for years. And just so you know, he was for years a Democrat. But what he did was he came up to me and he says, Mike, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you know, you knew where I grew up. You knew how I believe. And he said, you know what? He said, I don't like losing. I just don't. He said, but if it's a fair fight and I feel like it's fair and I lose, I'll just put my hands up and say, hey, I lost. He said, but I don't like cheaters. And he said, I have a problem. And I believe this around this nation, there was cheating going on in this election.
Well, and
people, I think that's a concern.
But literally, the minute you started talking about this, people text in and says, Mike, does Mike accept his own election results? Does he think his election results are suspect? And when you look at that, that's just one more point of view here. And I see the area code on this. Now, here's the other item is a lot of Republicans are saying, circling their wagons around Sidney Powell, the attorney, saying, you know, that once these things are done, they're going to overturn some of these states' results, and in particular this software called Dominion, I believe it is. What can you tell me about those statements, and what's your thoughts?
Here's the concern that we have. And whether you're Democrat, Republican, whether you supported President Trump or Biden, you've got to be able to trust in the systems that are put in place to receive those votes. And let me tell you that when you have a system that is suspect and you have been, and that system is being proven that it's suspect, and that the manipulation that can occur in certain software, that's a problem. That's a problem. And it's the same problem that exists when we say that we, you know, there are, and in the state of Illinois, I work for this. We believe that we should have voter IDs so that a person actually can know that they are who they say they are, and that you get to vote, and you should have the right to vote if you are qualified as a voter. But we, every time we try to push for that in the state of Illinois, they, from the other side of the aisle, say, oh, you just want to suppress the vote.
Right.
No, that's not true. I want everyone to vote. But I don't want you to be given a golden opportunity to manipulate the system.
Right, the integrity.
And if you do not believe, and then somebody said, oh, Mike, I've got this on social media. You're claiming there's voter fraud, but there's never been any voter fraud. Hogwash.
Yeah.
I've got East St. Louis in my district. And you want to see voter fraud? You want to see what the state board election, both Republican and Democrat, had to do to go in there to straighten that out? Where there were registered voters at vacant lots of as many as 45 people who voted in the 2012 election.
All right, Mike, here's the question. You just outlined this, and when you listen to the media, every accusation of voter fraud, the word before it is baseless. Baseless, without veracity. Fraudulent claims. Every single time you see or read that in the media right now, the word voter fraud is preceded by something that undermines that claim after years of people claiming it was there. Now they suddenly said, nope, there was no problem.
Right. Well, all I can say is the media needs to wake up along with the voting public of this United States.
Mike.
Because if the people do not stand up and say, no, we want to make it. And like I said, if it is the fact that someone actually wins and it's not the person I support, fine. I've accepted that. Look, I was not a supporter of Obama, and I knew him well. But I worked with him, and I felt like his election was legit. But we've got to make sure that the future elections are legit as well. And you can say what you want about these new voting machines that are out there, but if that program can be programmed by someone to rig a system so that there is an ability for someone to manipulate the voting public, or not the voting public, but manipulate the actual count of the votes, then we have a problem. And if we can't trust our basic system, when we work as a United States around the world to allow free societies to vote, and we go in and help them run their election, we can't trust our own. We've got a problem.
You know, we call that being Wittenborned here in Southern Illinois now.
I understand that's what
yeah. You know what? And if Jay's listening this morning, he's going, sure, thanks for that. I tell you what, I want to roll back something here to this Democratic slimmest margin. All right, does that give us the prospect of gridlock? And the reason why I ask this is Georgia. We've got two Senate races coming up. You know, and I'm wondering, we're going to be living by thin margins. Republicans hold the Senate, thin margin for the House. So there's a lot of things that are coming into play. One of the things that we've been talking about here in Southern Illinois is that they wouldn't be able to get a bailout in the state of Illinois with current makeup in Washington, D.C. But there's a lot of other things that come into play. I mean, do you think under the current makeup, as you kind of see it falling, that there's going to be an issue of gridlock going forward the next 2 years?
I think it's a possibility, but I'd also, let me give you hope in the fact that we still have the problem solvers group. The negotiations that go on there allow for us to come together with our leadership on both sides. Of course, remember the Democrat here right now are in turmoil, because you got to remember Nancy Pelosi is not a shoe-in for their leadership position. Right now, she's trying to jockey for position. And notice, I don't know when they're going to have their elections, but remember, she only won by one vote last time. And they apparently had a pretty rough fight in their own conference when someone says, you've got to quit pursuing this socialism agenda. And I guess it was AOC, and this came out in the media. So that she screamed out that was not the problem that caused the problem in the election. She said there were all these other reasons that caused the problem in the election. It's not their ideas.
Well, and Sherry Bustos, Illinois congressman last week announcing she won't be returning as a Democratic House campaign chairman because of that loss. So she's, falling on her sword to a certain extent. But this is an interesting argument here of how the House is going to go and who's going to be in control. And this is going to be interesting. I did note Representative Ilhan Omar yesterday saying that she has now cut ties with her husband's consulting firm so that her voters can have faith in her. But it's after the election. So
Right? Yeah.
So it's that, hey, the last two Mondays, Mike, the last two Mondays, each Monday, there's been a new vaccine announced with a high level of effectiveness.
That's fantastic.
This is good news. Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic. And the idea that we have now, because somebody said, "Don't we have a plan to distribute?" Yes, the plan to distribute has to do with not only your local health officials, but also the U.S. military, who will be geared up to start distributing as soon as they can get the production to the level that they need. And they've got that, by the way. So I believe we will see it by the end of the year. I think it's a shame that certain people like Cuomo want to still continue to say, "I don't trust the president on this. It's all about an ego, blah, blah, blah." You know what? No, it's about providing for the American people and trying to get life back to normal. And he also said, "Well, it's profit." You know what? If we in the United States actually have drug companies that are able to provide it, you know, people work there, people get paid from those companies and everything like that, and you know, that's the way this nation works, and we got to quit bad-mouthing people just because they are actually have a business, and that doesn't mean that it isn't going to be anybody and everybody will be able to receive the vaccine.
Yeah, well, so it's like Jonas Salk. He didn't make and produce the vaccine, but he did let him have it for free. So I think there's, you know, when you start looking at this, it takes money to make these things happen. I got three questions. I'm running out of time. Mike, here's one of the biggest concerns I have right now. I assume somebody's already spoke to you about this because I know some of the groups who endorsed you are doing this. Labor's local. And that is food. The farm to table funding ended in October.
Right. Let me tell you what's happened. There is one particular company that got the bid out of Missouri, where before you had Rex Cusimano and his people that were working to make sure that it got to the smaller areas. This company has decided that the only rules of this particular issue is that it just has to be given somewhere in Illinois. And because of that, it's not going to be distributed to the areas around in rural areas, so they can take full tractor trailers and go to Chicago. And there's no idea or plan specifically by this company to distribute the way it has been to our rural areas, whether it is food banks or whatever. So our office is trying to get straddle of this. They've got a contract. So when we're working with the USDA, they said, "We can't change this particular contract." And so we're trying to argue with Secretary Perdue to aggressively go after and find out what legal means we can. Because it's not a case where certain people are wanting to profit from it. They already have the smaller trucks to distribute to where it needs to go and have been doing that. And not only that, our local laborers have been working to make sure, and then we've been working with them as well. They've been working to make sure that they themselves have made a major investment to make sure that this produce and food is distributed in the areas that need to be. So yes, it is a major argument that we're having. Our office is working on it to try to find the legal means to press this company into distributing to the rural areas where they need to have.
What about the stimulus as a whole, not just food, but a stimulus package that was been talked about? They said after the election, do you see this on the horizon?
It's there. We're trying to do it. The problem solvers definitely had a plan that both the administration and the Senate agreed to. We have argued with the speaker before the election. She would just ignore even her own members about and not getting it done right now because everything is in turmoil with her own caucus or conference. I'm hoping that they'll move forward, but like I said at the early part of this interview with you today, we're moving minute things, not the big things, and I hope that we can get the big things moved, but that's up to the leadership to get it out there. I hope it does, Tom, but I can't guarantee that. If it comes to me, I'll be voting for it.
Got a minute left. You know. Got a minute left. Mike, take COVID off the table. What are your goals for your fourth term for your district?
For the district is to one, get the COVID thing out of the way and get the economy back where it needs to be. And look, we were booming prior to COVID. We need to get back there. My big fear is that a new administration would implement some things that we got rid of before that will stop that economy from coming back the way it was. So focusing on that. I myself am also focusing on becoming the Republican leader of the VA committee, which is looking pretty good that I would do that. I was hoping to be the chair. As it is, whenever we have this split in the majority and minority and such a close, so even the minority spokesperson will be, or what's known as the ranking member, will have a lot of influence because of the closeness of the House.
Just quickly before I let you go, I was looking over the numbers from SIH as they came in yesterday. Heron Hospital has 24 in hospital. Memorial Hospital of Carbondale has 32. That's the highest they've had at 56. And so that's the big issue here, and I'm glad you included that in the district.
Numbers are climbing. I know it. It affects me personally. My father tested positive this week. He is 91 years old, has Parkinson's. He's doing well. But it's there. It is definitely happening. And why we should quit playing politics and get this, get these two companies that actually have the vaccine and let them get them on the street as fast as possible, get them to the public as fast.